So must be something special about Father, because God, the creator of all, decided to use the father figure, or father figure of speech, to picture himself most often in the Bible. So God bless every father who is here today. And may we seek to follow our Heavenly Father's example in the love that he has for his children. What shall we do when godly men and women cease? What shall we do when people believe no one is Lord over them, so they can speak anything they want, regardless of the damage it does? This is what Psalm 12 is all about. And this is what David ran up against, as revealed in the 12th Psalm. Let us watch what he does. He felt the sting of gossip and the double tongue. Nevertheless, he did as he always does in all the situations. He presents the matter to the Lord. Psalm 12 is a song beginning with this preface to the chief musician on an eight-stringed harp, a psalm of David. The matter addressed in this psalm is of such a serious nature that the Holy Spirit moved David to write it,
then hand it over to the chief musician who put it to music. And he says that it's played on an eight-stringed harp, or sheminith, as you might have in some translations. The words of this psalm are sad, but we shall see the deeply felt nature of them, so that we can likewise sing on the eight strings of the heart when we are touched deeply by someone who has hurt us. And let us learn by this psalm that when we are troubled, we can pray or sing to the Lord about it, and he will hear and deliver us. Let's begin by reading the first two verses of Psalm 12, where David cries to the Lord with a complaint. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart. They speak. David does not merely cry out to help, you know, like how we might just say, you know, help, somebody help me, anyone out there. No. He speaks to one person in particular, and that is the Lord. Help, Lord. And starting the psalm this way, without even telling us what the problem is yet, shows how desperate David is, how urgent is the matter. Help, Lord. And then he tells us what the problem is. And this is the theme of the psalms. Psalmists are often encountered in life, or problems are often encountered in life, and the psalmists turn exclusively to the Lord. And then look how David is just with his request. It is short. It is directed to the power that is greater than himself. It is earnest. So what is the problem? He says the godly man ceases and the faithful are disappearing. And it is not that they were dying, nor is it so much that they were, as we might say, were falling away. The way in which he means this is they were gossiping and speaking insincere words. They did this because they believe that they are accountable to no one, as we'll see. And so they just think, well, I can speak whatever I want. The damage done to David and to the cause of godliness is incalculable. But these people do not care. They had been godly and faithful at one time, because David says they cease and they disappear, meaning they were there, or at least they were living in such a way, and now for some reason they no longer are. And is it not often the associate, the friend, at least the one who seems to be the friend, who can often do us more harm than the one who comes right out and presents himself as an enemy? So what was happening to David here was hurting him even more than if it was the Philistines or the Syrians or some other enemy of God. No, it's people who you could say at one time were godly and faithful. They speak this way, according to verse 2, to their neighbors, using flattery and a double heart. It is hard to know what they mean, because they may say one thing but believe another, or say one thing on one hand and really believe it, but when they get in a different crowd, they will then say something else. And they're doing this because they're looking for some kind of gain. It might be financial gain, it might be just to gain a following to themselves, or who knows what was going on in the case of Psalm 12, but they were trying to tell people what they wanted to hear so they could gain a following. And these are not the ways of godly men and women. This is not how we live out the faith. Their tongues are no more for sharing, but for snaring. Now in verse 3 and 4, David presents his confidence. Here is David's confidence in the Lord. Psalm 12, 3 and 4. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? David starts this psalm off crying for help because he wants the Lord to cut off the flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. And he says these people who are speaking in their pride believe that they shall give account to no one. No one is Lord over us. Who are you, David, to question us? Or they might say to society, who are you to challenge what we have to say? They might even say, who are you to impose your morals on us? They think that freedom to speak means they can say anything about anyone. They're just speaking what's on their mind. They're just speaking on their hearts, and who cares what harm is done? But the point of what David is showing here in verses 3 and 4 is that Yahweh God is Lord over the gossiping, proud lips. The gossip forgets that he is accountable to God. Most gossips think that we'll go no further. But David shows their gossip reaches far up into heaven. And heaven hears. And that's why David is presenting his request to the Lord of heaven and earth. Are we ready to hear what I'm about ready to read to you from Matthew 12? Jesus says something in Matthew 12 that, in my opinion, is very sobering. When I read these words, it makes me realize I need to think every time that I am speaking. I need to be very careful with my words. Let us remember the words of our teacher whenever we begin to engage in the talk that David is speaking against here. We might pride ourselves on saying that we just speak what is on our minds, and that is fine. But remember the words of Jesus, and let the Word of God guide us as we speak. Listen to Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37. These are powerful words. Jesus said, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they shall give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Wow. Those hit hard, don't they? And I think Jesus intended for them to hit hard. He wants us to think about what we are saying. And I wonder if the people that David's speaking about back in Psalm 12, if they had heard those words, or if they had realized that every idle word they speak, they're going to have to stand before God and explain to Him why they spoke those words, if indeed they would not have spoken those words. Moreover, they will have to explain to Him why they thought they were not accountable to God. Why they thought no one was Lord over them or over their speech. Can you imagine doing that? We're at the judgment and we see God on His throne, surrounded by His angels. There He is in all His glory. And He says, "Now, why did you say no one is Lord over you? How can you look at God in the eye and say, well, I mean, what do you say? There's no explanation for it. Therefore, we should remind ourselves constantly of what David was facing and of what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 12. And be very sober about our words. When these people tauntingly asked who was Lord over them, they will suddenly find themselves before the Lord Himself. And He might even remind them of the words of Psalm 12 and of the words of Matthew 12. Verse 5 of Psalm 12, David says, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns." The oppression and sighing of God's people arouses His help. He hears their agony. Oh, beware, haughty gossiper. Not only is the theme of Psalms that of seeking God's help, but that God hears those pleas and responds to them. In verse 5 here, God speaks to David and through him to us that He will arise and give His people the help for which they yearn in this life. And no one, if he understands God, wants to be on the side that is against God and against His people when finally He moves into action. Verse 5 shows that the plea back in verse 1 was not a casual one. It was not sporadic. It was a yearning. It was a panting. It was a strong urge. David opens his emotions to God and they pour out like a fountain. And God is touched by that. And then God gives His beloved what they desire. Now, take what David's been saying about these people who are against him and contrast that now with the Lord and His words in verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. Like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. Verse 6 is an amen to verse 5. God says what He means and means what He says. He promises what He will do and He does what He promises. And we know this is true because His words are like the purest silver. Imagine silver purified seven times. The silver is liquefied through heat. The silver is heavy and sinks, and the impurities rise to the top and they are removed, and it's cooled. And this is done a total of seven times. So that finally, when you get down to the sixth and seventh times, it is only the very smallest impurities that could not be picked out before. They're now taken out. And now the silver is as pure as it can be. The words of the Lord are like that pure silver. We cannot find one flaw, one error, one mistake, one inaccuracy, or one contradiction. The words of the Lord are perfect, true, complete, accurate, and harmonious. The words of the Lord have passed through the furnaces of persecution, literary critics, philosophers, scientists, historians, geologists, and world religions, and has only lost the impurities of man's ways and interpretations that have attempted to adhere to it. And His word comes out pure and true every time. Therefore, there are no flaws to the promise of verse 5. That's the connection between what He's been saying in verse 6. Here's my request, O God. God says, David, here's what I'm going to do. And now David comes back and says, I know that God's word is true. If that's what He said He will do, He will do it. I've made a request to Him. He will fulfill it. Moreover, as verse 7 promises, God preserves His people and His word from this apostate generation. You know, men will let us down because they are flatterers and double-hearted, but not God. God is true. That's why He says His word is like the purest silver. Now let's watch how the psalm ends. He says, the wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. The wicked walk on every side because they know they have the freedom. They have the freedom to choose. But choosing the right brings on blessings, and choosing the wrong brings on curses. So yes, they have freedom, but there's responsibilities that go with that. There are, we are accountable for what we say and do. Instead of preaching against vileness, David's generation and our generation, or you can say any generation of the world, cries for free and unaccountable speech. They want to say whatever they want about anyone that they want, and no one is supposed to question them or challenge them on them. Well, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with people that have the kind of mindset that David's dealing with here? Well, what did David do in this psalm? We should do the same as he did. He cried out to God for help. He cast all this burden upon the Lord, knowing that the Lord cares for him. Christians can make requests to the Father through Jesus Christ, and He will hear us. If God the Father gave us Jesus Christ to die, to free us from sin and death, He will certainly help us with the lesser problems in life. Is someone trying to hurt you with their words? Meditate in Psalm 12 and follow David's example. Listen to the words of the ungodly that he's revealed in this short psalm. They speak idly. They speak with flattering lips. They speak with a double heart. They speak proud things. They speak with no accountability, or at least that's what they think it is. And they speak vile words. Moreover, the godly and the faithful were few and far between in David's generation. So that vileness was exalted, and that was troubling to him, and he didn't know what to do about it. Except for praying to the King of the world. Praying to the one who runs all things. When you read this psalm, at least at the very beginning, it sounds like there is no hope. That the world is ready to end, and David should just give up. But who prevailed? Whose word to this day endures? Have godly men and women, faithful men and women, existed after David's generation? Oh, yes. In the Bible, we know of hundreds of them, if not thousands. And certainly since the writing of the Bible, there have been countless numbers of them. We shall prevail. Do not give up. Adhere to the words of the Lord, and you shall be as pure as His words. And of course, none of us certainly ever want to be guilty of being the people that David was talking about. We want to be like David. It is better to be the victim than to be the perpetrator of these things. If we're the perpetrator, we must repent immediately. And if we are the victim, as I've already said, we should do exactly what David is doing in this psalm. Turn the matter over to God. Either way, either person should be turning him or herself over to God and let God run our lives. That's why, before we are baptized, we make the confession, Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus is Lord. It's not me anymore, and it's not anyone else. Jesus is Lord. And I now will let Him run my life. And if you're at that point, and you're ready to have your sins forgiven, and you know that you need to be baptized, you can come forward right now as we stand and sing.